Well, hello, and welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast. Join me, Sam Harris, on my journey of curiosity and growth. I have conversations with some of the world's most fascinating humans, from billionaires to Olympians, and most everyone in between, such as suspiciously happy people and even a hitman. Success isn't just for successful people, it is earned, and you can earn it too. I find out how ordinary people become extraordinary to fuel your own growth mindset. Hello, and welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast. Today we have Dane Knighton on the podcast with me, who is the author of The Forbidden Secret of Copywriting, and he's really helped many businesses turn themselves around, and hopefully he's going to share some wise words with us today. So welcome, Dane.
Thank you. Let's do this.
So I quite like to start with just a quick life summary from the guests. So can you give me 2 to 3 minutes of your life?
Okay. I was born in Pretoria, South Africa. I came here when I was 9 years old. Basically, a mother and father divorced at a young age. My father lost everything. He was living in a township in South Africa. My mother and I had everything repossessed. Never had my own bedroom. Slept at my cousin's house, basically lived at my cousin's. I came here to England at age 9. Lived in a 2-bedroom house with 6 other people, slept on a couch for God knows how long, 3 years, got struck by severe anxiety, got basically game addicted, almost killed myself twice, had severe acne, and that was the dark side. And now we had the brighter side, but that's the summary.
Yeah, wow. Super interesting. So how did you then go from having issues and suicide to the point where you now... in like the last few years, can you just quickly summarize that bit as well?
Since I was about 15, 16, it's kind of an entitlement story like basically most people have, which they don't even know they have it. So I don't know if it was a turning point, because I don't think there's just one moment, but I read basically Think and Grow Rich. And ever since then, it just kind of really turned around. And probably the topic of your podcast, it is having more of the growth mindset, the step-by-step stages of basically the actions that you need to take.
Super interesting. I don't know why you didn't put this in your profile. Like, growth mindset, as in your actual story, is much more relevant than that stuff.
We'll get him to put it in.
I think I have some other podcasts that are more about like overcoming adversity, besides ones that are just more businessy stuff. Anyway, yes. So, sounds like you've overcome quite a few things. So, I feel a bit like I've had a pretty easy life compared. So can we just sort of go back to some of like the earlier things? Do you think all of the problems that you kind of went through have kind of helped you in some ways?
Yeah, here's the thing. I wouldn't change anything. And whoever has the most adversity, basically, I feel can push themselves further than almost anyone else, right? So if you've had, let's say, for example, in my case, like obscene, severe acne, right? Waking up with like blood on your pillow almost every single day, not being able to look anyone in the eye, right? I just think the more adversity you have and the more problems you overcome, it's easier to overcome more and more problems.
For sure. That relates to like the question of bringing up children, say. So you say you wouldn't change your life and you went through a bunch of shit, but what would you do if you had children? Would you put them through a bunch of shit on purpose?
This is a very interesting question, because I spoke to my mom about this the other day, because I was basically like beat at a young age for being naughty or whatnot. And I said to her just about last week, look, I don't actually agree with what you did, but I understood your intentions, because coming from South Africa, this was a normal thing back in the day, right? That's all she knew. So anyway, to answer your question, I think I'd look after them, but I'd never hand anything on their plate, if that makes sense. I'd definitely make them work, 100%. So, for example, I'd have like a preset assignment or checklist, if you say. For example, if you want this, you go buy these 10 books, you go read all these 10 books. And once you've read these books, then you take so-and-so action. Once you take so-and-so action, then I'll buy you a trainers or whatever.
Definitely. So did you have that yourself, or was it more that you just had to fight for things?
Yeah, I've never had to go without food and stuff. I was never that poor, but I don't run away from problems. I go straight into it. So like, I did have to fight for things, that's for sure. I'm still like a young, probably ignorant person, and I'm very aware of it. I'm always willing to learn, always have an open mind, and always chase skill acquisition.
Good. So then on to the subject of, so you got to where you are with like writing a book and stuff, but you never went through university or do. How much education did you actually have? So did you do college?
So yeah, I did college. I came here basically not speaking a word of English.
Wow.
Yeah, I came here saying soccer. And yeah, everyone was just laughing their head off because that's all I could say. But yeah, I went to primary school, again, failed English, secondary school, and then college. And that was it. Never went to university, and thank God I didn't.
Cool. Yeah, so when you went from college, so you decided that you wanted to do more writing, or how did you like fall into copywriting exactly?
That's a good question. So for those of you listening, if you don't know what copywriting is, it's basically the words you see on a sales page. If you've ever been pitched to in a seminar and you've run at the back of the room or whatever, that's basically a walking copywriter per se. Ads, like anything, basically people call it a salesmanship in print, right? That's what people call it. I think it's not that. I think it's more psychology than anything, psychology in print. So I got into it by basically uploading 700 YouTube videos, only making one pitch ever, right? It was all value-based, and then only making $7 online. And although I was fine with just adding value, that was my main intention, eventually it starts getting like, okay, I've made over 700 videos, all this value, all this time, and yet someone's paid me only $7 for all of this, basically. So I was like, shit, I need to learn how to market or something. And then, boom, I discovered copywriting. And to the point of your podcast for listeners to take away, whenever you want to learn any skill, right, to develop your growth mindset per se, always reverse engineer and go to principles, right? Don't worry about tactics, even strategy, right? You just want the principles. Once you've learned the principles, you can almost learn any skill in a very short amount of time. I'm not saying master it, but you can learn it. Right? So that's exactly what I did. I thought, oh, I need to learn how to market. I reverse engineered. Okay, who's the quote-unquote gurus here, right? Who's been teaching for like 50 years, 100 years? What is the principles that are working right now? I learned them, and eventually I developed my skills more and more and more. And yeah, that's where I am today.
Cool. So what were the principles that you identified then? Like, who were the gurus that you looked to?
So it's Dan Kennedy's is a pretty cool guy. Jay Abraham. Yeah, both of them, if anyone wants to learn, they're pretty cool guys. And the principles, it's not something I can say all in this one podcast, but it always comes down to human psychology, right? So for example, the principle is you can have the best copy in the world, but if your offer sucks, what's the point, right? So in layman's terms, if you polish a turd, it's still a turd, right? So the principle there is create an irresistible offer, right? So all these kind of principles just stack up and up and up, and then yeah, eventually you just work on basically the principles.
So does that mean that your 700 videos were all a turd and you needed to change those, or that you were writing the wrong things about them to get people to watch them?
Good question. Yeah, so the 700 videos is when I was doing fitness. And that's when I had zero copywriting knowledge, right? So I wasn't writing the videos, right? So it wasn't like a video sales letter. I just put up the camera and it'd be all educational. I wouldn't even call it marketing, really, because it wasn't. It'd just be me speaking into the video, giving like science-based information, right? And then after about 700 videos, I delivered a pitch. I didn't know how to write a video sales letter. I didn't have a clue about sales. Before you ever put pen to paper or whatever, right, you want to find out your big idea, especially when it comes to information. You're basically selling an idea. You're not selling a product or whatever. Once you've got your big idea, you want to create your irresistible offer, right? There's a lot of components to go into your irresistible offer. You can make a hard offer, which is like, pay me $49 for this thing, or you can make a soft offer, which is, you know, have a 30-day trial and then only pay me $49. Next, you want to find your one belief, right? So when it comes to copywriting, well, there are loads of other elements like, you know, your proof, the claims, the benefits. What you're really selling is a belief, right? So a hope to believe in something. Because if you're selling any product, most people fail at things. And again, I don't know if you're a teacher or whatnot listening to this, you know, your students have failed many of the times at things. What you're selling is hope and belief that this time is going to be different and this time I'll get a result. So once you've got those three things, writing copy, that's where you get into like the elements and some more strategies. So a big idea, irresistible offer, and your one belief, basically.
Okay, can you sort of give an example of how you'd implement the big idea, offer, and belief with a different product or something?
Sure, they can come away with irresistible offer, right? So if, for example, you want to start a business or you want to form a marketing campaign, make sure you have an irresistible offer. What are your terms, right? What are your prices? What are your bonuses? What are your guarantees, right? So if you're going to make a good guarantee, think about a money-back guarantee, right? Okay, think about the time. Is it going to take them time to consume the product, time to come to your seminar? If it's going to take time to come to your seminar, do a Zoom call, for example, right? What is it going to do to their energy, right? And their reputation, right? So that's the main things. So you want to think of a timer. So time, identity, money, energy, reputation. When you create your irresistible offer as well.
Cool. What would you say like the biggest mistakes people make when they first try to write copy?
They try and sell the thing before they know the customer. So if I was to write copy to you to sell something to you, I first need to know what you want. So it goes back to the thing, sell me this pen. Well, I'm not going to sell you this pen if you don't want this pen. Definitely my number one piece of advice is know the customer so intimately and know their worldview, how they view the world, their feelings, their beliefs, their desires, their past experiences, and then basically sit down and write to one person.
What if you feel like your product or something is relevant for like different types of people? Would you just say, forget about everyone else then? Just sort of focus on the one?
That's a good question. Most people don't realize there aren't that many different types of people in the world, right? Per se. Obviously, yeah, there's 9 billion or whatever. But a lot of people don't understand there's universal experiences and desires that most people have. And if you know you're writing to one person, the traffic that you're sending, the distribution that you're sending to the offer, will all have these attributes that to the person you're writing to. So if you create a promotion around, let's say, for example, you're selling a financial newsletter, the people want to retire, the people listen to Tony Robbins, the people read this book, the people have this, right? Your traffic, all the targeting will include that straight to the offer, right? So it's congruent.
Interesting. What's really like an example of some really good copy? If I was to go and find a brand, like what would you say is the brand that's got the best copy out there?
That's a good question. And it's not actually being biased because this is how I learned copy myself, right? You go to the company I'm doing work for at the moment called Agora Financial. So they're a $1.5 billion company. You go to them, you sign up for their free newsletters, right? Break down their copy, get some awareness, take line by line, see what they're doing, then go write copy and you'll be that much better, right? But first you need the awareness. And to get the awareness, again, like Sam, you've just done, reverse engineer, get some principles, maybe buy one or two books, right? Read about it, get some awareness, and you'll be like, I read this book. Okay, now I can see kind of in this promotion, he's using this principle here. Oh, he's using this. Yeah, now it's matching up. And then you take action, write some copy yourself.
Cool. How did you go about finding customers for copywriting? Because you said you started copywriting stuff for yourself, but then how did you become like a copyright expert in the industry and have people want to come to you?
So yeah, it's called basically positioning, status, framing, whatever you want to call it, right? So once you have good positioning, people discover you. It just goes back to the principles of marketing, right? Your message, which is the copy, your market, and then the media. And once you know who you're writing to, who you're targeting, it's also everything, right? So I'll go, for example, okay, my market is financial publishers. Now, where are they? Okay, they're reading Business Insider. They're listening to the James Altucher show. They're listening to Stansberry Radio. They're this and this and this and this. So I go and publish on those places where they are. Just get in front of them. That's basically positioning and how to get discovered.
And so, but how did you get onto all of those pieces of media then? Did you sort of, you wrote stuff to, like, did you have a blog that sort of talks about like all your skills and copy that got people to then feature you? Like, what did you do to get there?
The thing is, when you start out and you don't have any momentum. So when you start out, the best thing is just, well, it's like everything. You just take action, right? Once you take one action, so for example, you might write an article for Business Insider, right? They might not like it, whatever. You start going to the next one where your target market hangs out. You write an article there. Oh, okay. One gets published. Now, once one gets published, then you start leveraging. You're like, okay, look, I've written an article for the Financial Times. Okay, we see that. Okay, we'll publish another article here. So you have to start off somewhere. You have to take some sort of action. And the main thing is just to create a relationship with your dream client and get in front of them. Once you get in front of them, it's pretty simple to progress from there. Because people do with business, like, as you know, they like you, they trust you.
If let's say you're writing for these articles and things, and how do you get in front of businesses? So you went into businesses and said, hey, like, I was already in these places. Did they come to you from like a website link that was on those articles?
Yeah, correct. And like I said, it's all about knowing your target market and where they are. If they read Business Insider, publish an article in Business Insider, put a link there, and if you provide value, right, they'll seek you out. And that's all about positioning, people seeking you out.
That's cool. And yeah, from there, you just built more and more momentum by just taking action and doing things, really.
That's it, man. That's it. Like I said, I'm really not the smartest guy in the world. Like, I'm far from it. Like, I've never been to university, man. I don't have like a degree to hang up in the air or something like that. But I do take action, and that's all that matters. The biggest mistake I've ever done was reading loads of copywriting books and never taking action, right? Action is the daddy. That's the ultimate secret. Speak to any successful entrepreneur. It's action, 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 action. And don't give a shit what other people think, right?
So, I mean, I know a few like entrepreneurs that like they're annoyingly not that smart and they don't necessarily make great decisions. But then if they just keep on doing things and they're relentless, like, they do so well because they just keep on doing shit. And you're like, and like normal people sort of feel like they have to wait until the idea is perfect or like other people like approve of them doing this thing. And they don't quite get around to taking all the action. And it's just doing stuff. And you get smarter as you go along. So I'm sure when you first started, you maybe weren't that great a copywriter. But just by doing it, like, you get much better. Like, when I first started my podcast, it probably wasn't great. And you go along through these things and you get much better at doing it. And you get better at interviewing and
you'll be delusional if you think it was great.
Yeah. But I'd be personally, also be delusional if I sort of waited 2 years to then release a perfect podcast, because my first podcast was never going to be perfect, however many books I read about podcasting. Whereas if I've done like 100 interviews now, it's still not perfect, but it's getting closer every time. And it's much better now than anything I could ever have done for my first episode.
People need to rewind that, because honestly, this is the thing people don't get. Like, they think, oh, I need this equipment and that equipment to start, or this and that. It's just garbage, man.
Yeah, definitely. It's just doing. Did you have, for your books, did you have like a lot of people helping with editing and things, or did you just kind of just do it yourself and smash it out?
Nope. And that's another thing, man. It goes back to the certification and self-appointment, right? I don't want to go find a publisher and seek a publisher out, right? That's not my goal, right? I couldn't give two shits if I was published or not. My goal is to add value to the end user. And if the end user finds, you know, let's say, for example, this podcast valuable, they go and buy the book. And as long as it's valuable to them, that's all I care about.
Yeah, nice. How long did it take you to write the book?
I'd say about a month.
Wow. Nice. Did you kind of lock yourself away for the month, or was it like I was just a few hours each morning? What was the process?
Yeah, here's the thing, man. I've got like an obsessive personality. Like it is a problem. Like I sacrificed a lot in my life, man. Mm. It's lonely, man. People know entrepreneurship is lonely, right? Mm. It's like a known fact. I mean, it probably doesn't have to be. Probably doesn't have to be.
Make it less lonely. Still haven't perfectly solved that yet, but.
Well, there you go. See,
not.
But it's just sacrifice, right? So anyway, to answer your question, yeah, I just basically sat there for a month, 6 hours a day, and just smashed it out. Right, that's it. That's the required action that it took, and you do it.
I like it. Nice. I think I'm going to be doing that after my TED speech in a few weeks' time. Been working on a book that I haven't got around to finishing. I'm just like going to do it.
Well, here's the thing. Why don't people finish things, right? Because it needs to be perfect. But that's just a self-delusional concept, because nothing ever gets to perfect. And I know it sounds so cliche, but until people actually get it, that imperfect action is the way to go, not waiting for a perfect time. Right? That's when the ball starts moving.
Yeah, definitely. As in reading your book, there are a few things that I feel like if I was the editor of the book, I could have improved, as in you just give a few examples that could have been better worded, or you sort of start an example and it feels like that's going to be the next two pages of example, but you just suddenly stop and you're giving a different example and I got a bit confused. But mostly it's still really good. And like, I've learned so much from reading it. So I've really, really liked it, but it could have been like improved a little bit in terms of like the exact specifics of what you did. But still as a whole book, it still works really well. And it taught me loads. So,
well, I mean,
they're pretty impressive for just like something you just did by yourself in a month. Because I try and read back the stuff that I wrote like a month ago, and it comes out and it's like, oh, this all makes sense. And you're like, well, actually, my brain was just kind of like, my brain understood itself very well. And like, then reading it with fresh eyes, you should have like, actually, you need to reword it a bit and stuff.
So well, exactly. There you go. I mean, I hired the copy editor, right? And she was pretty shit, actually, because I had to go over and do it myself. But yeah, to your point, right? Is that book worth more than £5? Right.
Yeah. In terms of like the value, it's sort of increased on my ability to write copy. Definitely.
Well, I mean, there you go. If, for example, you use one concept, right? If you use selling money at a discount, you use that one concept, I guarantee you, if you take action on it, it will make you more than 10 grand.
Yeah. Like the whole awareness, like pyramid thing. Sent that to her mate the other day and she's like, oh my god, this is totally my problem. And so it's been helping other people as well.
And it goes back to the point, right? The message got out there. You got the message. It's helped you. And I don't give a shit if you read my book to, oh, I'm having a sip of coffee on a Sunday afternoon and oh shit, there's a spelling mistake there or here's that there. I don't care. Because if you take action on the things like the selling money at discount, the awareness pyramid, if you take action on that, it'll make you 10 grand a lot more than that. And then if it does, you come back to me again. That's the objective.
So how did you go back? I saw you running a conference end of last month or this month, I can't remember, in London. How did you start doing those kind of things where you just do like a whole day of teaching people stuff? Did you action? I'll just put a day on, or did you kind of do like an hour of working with people and then realize, oh, well, this hour went well, maybe I could do 2 hours? And like, how did it become like get into the doing those kind of things?
I'm glad you asked this. A good question. So yeah, I don't know if it's like a human thing or if it's social conditioning from school and parents, or just probably societal conditioning where people want to know how to do something before actually doing it, right? And to answer your question, that's exactly what I did. I just stopped thinking how and just start doing it, right? Because the amount of mental energy people waste, and I'm 100% a victim of this as well. I'm furthest thing from perfect, but I do it as well. I think, oh, how do I do this? Oh, let me plan some more. It's like, no. This is us about face, right? You just take action and then everything kind of sorts itself out. Today, talking about conferences. Today, just before this call, right? I was like, oh, you know what? I need to do another event. Okay, cool, boom. Cool, videographer. Yep, okay, got a quote. Do this, call the hotel people. Yep, done, right? What's my cost per acquisition on whatever attendee, right? Get it down, boom. Let's get the ads out, right? So it's just, It's just action, man. It's like, oh, I might step on stage whenever the event is, and I might flop, right? I might be crap. And I'm not going to be the next Tony Robbins, even though I don't want to be that cheesy. But I'm not going to be like the next professional speaker on the stage. And again, it's not my objective. I don't care. But yeah, to answer your question, it's action.
Yeah, 100%. It's cool. I'm feeling a bit like I definitely probably have overprepared too many things in my life and should just go and do things more now.
But the thing is, everyone does it. Like, I do it all the time, man. And yeah, I guess that's why I'm speaking about it, because just like, it's my reticular activation system, right? Like, I'm just analyzing, okay, where am I just thinking? And then, I mean, for the listeners to take something away, right? If you're just thinking you need to do something and you've kind of been procrastinating about it, it sounds stupid, but it really helps. Just sit down with a notepad. Think of all the things you'd be procrastinating about, put it on a notepad, and then all you have to do is just go do it, because it'll take you less mental energy to actually go and do it than it does holding it in your brain.
Yeah, have you read Getting Things Done by David Allen?
No, I haven't.
You'd like that book. It's essentially about when you're trying to think about all the things you need to do, when you're keeping them in your brain, it's just like a waste of space. And so anytime you read an email, You should only ever read an email once. You should answer it immediately, or like delegate it. Or if it's something that's going to require half an hour's worth of work, you put it in a place where you know you will only work on it when you have that right half an hour to work on it. So you'll never like read it again. It won't be in your inbox, like taking up your brain space or like another 10 seconds to think about, oh, I can't do this just yet. Like, you'll never think about it again until you're at the time when you're okay, on my train, I have half an hour. And it'll be like one of the things that will come up is your possible half an hour thing to do, and you'll do that kind of thing. And so you just don't have any thoughts in your head about what you might be doing, or like the dentist, you don't need to think about the fact that you need to book it and that you need to get there like next Tuesday. Kind of, you'll just do the booking at the time when you have time to do bookings, and it'll be in your calendar. And when you wake up on Tuesday morning, your calendar will say, hey, you're going there at 11. You won't ever have to think about remembering it, and your brain will be emptier, and all you'll do is concentrate on the thing that comes up as the thing you have to do right now. And it basically is, it's all about action and keeping yourself in momentum and just doing stuff, rather than kind of, shit, I got all these things to do, I don't know what to do, and like just wasting your brain space with thinking about things where you're not taking action. And it's a really good book if you can adopt it, because it's a great way of massively increasing your productivity and saving your brain space.
Yeah, I'll definitely check it out. And the irony of it is, you're buying another book. Well, it's obviously a bad thing, but it's also worth looking at it from the other side of the mirror, as in, why am I buying another book? Where can I just do the shit?
True.
Well, again, I'm not against reading books. I read them all the time, like when I'm walking or whatever. A lot of people, I know I've been talking about, you know, action, but the reason people don't take action, and I've really been trying to study this because it's useful for both marketing and just changing people's lives for the better, is really understanding why people don't take action. And it all comes down to how they view themselves in the world and their identity. That's basically what it is. Like, if you don't view yourself as a person that takes action, and you have no logical justification, logical evidence that you've done it, right, then you're not going to be a so-called action taker.
Yeah, it's true. Okay. Are there any major principles we haven't covered you think are important for people to know about?
As long as people have a big idea, right? People have their irresistible offer. And one thing I haven't really spoken about is the unique mechanism. You need to have a unique mechanism, because that's basically how you sell, or how you sell a unique product, and how you can basically so-called get decommoditized. So yeah, definitely a unique mechanism is pretty important.
Okay, so how would you think about making a unique
mechanism? So unique mechanism, there's three different ways to do it. The most popular way you can actually create a unique mechanism is through, I always struggle to say it, transubstantiation, right? Meaning, in layman's terms, basically taking a concept, taking a known familiar object, product, and giving a new name, a new label, let's say, for example, I've got a pen in my hand, right? So perhaps you're selling this pen. You can give it a new label, right? So you wouldn't reveal the whole pen. So the way you use a unique mechanism in a promo is basically concealing it, which will be a secret lead. But regardless, you probably have a pen, you'll cover the pen up, and you'll be like, oh, take a look at this, right? And just give it a new name, give it a new label that's intriguing, and then you can sell it that way, right? So people don't know. As soon as people know about the product you're selling, this is information publishing, by the way. If you're selling information and they already know it, they just mentally opt out, right? If you sell like a physical product, for example, right? Find one unique feature, and it might not even be unique, but maybe someone isn't telling the story about that unique product. So that's one way of doing it. Find a story someone else is not telling about the particular product and just reposition it, right? So just change the frame, right? Give it a new reference. Another way you can just, for example, if you walk into the shop and it goes back to labeling, right? There's a cleaner, there's kitchen cleaner, there's bathroom cleaner, and there's probably floor cleaner, right? The point I'm making is it's just a label. It's probably got the same old glop in it. Yeah, that's basically how you can create a unique mechanism.
Right. Yeah. It's more specific. It makes much more sense now.
Got it.
Cool. Thanks, man. Okay. And so if you had to leave me with one message, what do you think it would be?
I'd say always be open-minded, always being willing to learn. I'm always open-minded. So I'm always willing to learn, and I very rarely chase money, right? I mean, that's great, but I really chase skill acquisition more than anything. So whenever you want to learn any skill, right, go back to principles. That's it. Nail principles in any skill and have that growth mindset, have that open mind.
Yeah, cool. Okay, then the last two questions. What would you say is one of your earliest memories?
Probably getting beat as a child.
Yeah, seems quite distinct. Is there any one specific day where you can affect the first one or anything?
Yeah, so I remember still putting like five layers of boxers on, or underpants, whatever you want to call them, just so it hurts less. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty heavy going. Wow. But were you like really scared at the time? Did you feel like this was weird, or did it just kind of seem like this was just part of life?
See, this is, again, having the open mind, man. Like, I'm a very open-minded person. I try and have emotional intelligence and empathy to understand why people do things, right? Mm. And the only reason that action was taken is because that's all that person knew, right? People don't understand this, but this was like however many years ago, 30 years ago, right? Mm. In their mind, that's all they knew, and they were really actually trying to do something good, right? That was really their good intention, right? They wanted to bring up someone with discipline, right? Again, unless you come from that country in South Africa, it won't make sense to you. But again, it's about different culture. And I believe most humans have good intentions.
Yeah, no, definitely. Everyone, you know, is just making their life up as they go along. They're not trying to be a dick. They're trying to do like the most sensible thing from everything they've learned. And usually there's a reason behind it. This is something fundamentally broken, but most people are usually nice. They just
it's about a story that's going on in their head. That really is what it is. And in that story, that behavior is in most cases a good intention.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. Then what's the kindest thing that someone has done for you?
That's a good question. Probably just bringing me up. Like my parents, it's a bit abstract, but I mean, that's probably the kindest thing. But to give something a bit more specific, I guess, someone giving me like a shot at something, right? Like giving like a young, however old I am, a shot at something. Just really giving someone that was hungry the shot at doing something. That was it.
You try and do the same thing now with other people who maybe aren't quite ready for it.
Yeah, very good question. I do. As long as people show effort and work ethic and discipline, I give them a lot of help.
Cool.
Thank you for having me on, and it's been a pleasure.
Thanks for the podcast. It's been great.
I hope you enjoyed the episode as much as I did. My goal for this podcast is to help make people happier and wiser, and I'm also working on a few other projects in the podcasting space to achieve the same thing. I run the Wiser Than Yesterday podcast with a friend, where we read and discuss a great non-fiction book a week. We talk about things like philosophy, psychology, the economy, self-improvement, and business. Books such as The Black Swan, Anti-Fragile, Invisible Women, How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's a great resource. I also run the Curious Comforts podcast, finding out what's going on in the world and how to improve it with industry insiders. We've been focusing on the effects of the coronavirus lately, but I also discuss broader things like climate change and AI. Most recently, I've been building an app, Syncify. It's really to level up your podcast experience. You can connect with your friends in the app and listen to the same things. So you can listen live in real time with each other, or create shared playlists and catch up at your own pace. You learn so much more by discussing ideas with friends. It's really silly to listen alone. You can also discover and share brilliant episodes with ease without having to try and recommend podcasts in different apps and just it all getting lost and confused. So it's also good for combating isolation and mental health. I personally find social media quite antisocial, and I just don't find it easy to reach out to friends to chat for no real reason. But I do love doing things with other people, and listening to the same content means that I can naturally talk about the same things, and it just gives me that friend time without going out of my way. So I really hope that it can help you, and I just would love you to try out the beta version and help us build this. And obviously, do invite your friends. It's all about friends. So you can find out more about Syncify app by going to syncifyapp.com. Thanks for listening.
Congratulations on listening to a whole episode of the Growth Mindset podcast. Before you race into another podcast, try pausing. Ask yourself, what have you learned? What could you change? How will you make that change happen? Did you press pause? Knowledge is useless without action. What did you learn? What should you change? And how will you make that change happen? You can tell us what you learned by contacting us through the website, growthmindsetpodcast.com, and feel free to connect with us or our guests, or just peruse the show notes. Our Instagram is @growthmindsetpodcast, or follow me @samjamsnaps for a daily reminder to stop using Instagram. If you enjoy random acts of kindness and want to support the show, you can support us on Patreon or leave us a review on iTunes, and you'll make me very happy. And with that, keep learning and keep growing.